friends, and welcome to your Thursday edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. And today it's an Easter egg extravaganza because it's a big sporting weekend for Ipswich Town and other sporting stars in Ipswich as well, which we'll get onto in due course. I'm Mark Heath, joined today by the Dr. Stuart Watson and the young hairy one, Roscoe. Still really now stretching that young definition, Rossi. You've just had a fresh trim though, ready for a big weekend. How the hell are you? Looking resplendent, by the way, in burgundy slash maroon slash whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, I needed a fresh trim. Ready for the big Easter weekend. I love burgundy. It's my favourite colour. Although I was looking back actually at my wardrobe and just in general my clothes, I ain't got actually that many burgundy stuff. So I was like, I need to up my game. I've got a nice burgundy Adidas number now where I just wear that all the time. And I'm actually not wearing Adidas right now. I'm not going to show that brand. But I do like this top.
Need to up your percentage of burgundy items.
Yeah.
Something to work on. Watson, how many burgundy items do you own? What's your favourite colour?
Burgundy items off the top of my head, one T-shirt, favourite colour, blue.
Brings out your eyes, I always think. Friends, I must apologise. If you're watching this video, I must apologise for my somewhat dishevelled appearance. My beloved hound Benson got me up at 4 a.m. this morning to go out for a call of nature. And I slept fitfully ever since. And I basically look a complete mess, showing every inch my 40 plus years as it is at the moment. I do apologise. Avert your eyes. Focus on the other much more better looking chaps if you're watching the video. As I said in the intro, lots to discuss this week. Clearly two big games. We've also had some news just breaking now on season tickets. So shall we start there, Stu? We've just been frantically trying to work out after enjoying, I must say, Hutchie's, formerly of this parish, Oscar winning performance and a little bit of a video intro there. We've been working out what season ticket prices mean. Do you want to share what we've very quickly worked out and then we can talk about it?
Yeah, we've literally just looked at this as we were about to hit record. I think the first thing of note is that it looks like the prices are going to be the same regardless of what division Ipswich are in next year, be it Championship or, fingers crossed, Premier League. A small rise, not something that the club has drawn too much attention to, which is fair enough, but I always look at sort of lower tiers behind the goals is always a sort of a good marker. £381 in the lower north stand last year, 353 last year, rising to 381 this year, so it's 32 quid extra, for example. So what does that work out, about £1.50 a game, something like that extra, which if we're talking about potentially in the Premier League, can't really knock that, can you?
I think that's, I mean, snap reaction. That seems pretty reasonable to me, Rossi. I know you've been asking your KOA fan social posse for their thoughts, but initial thoughts, I mean, given that not too long ago we used to gnash our teeth every year as Marcus Evans put prices up when they were sliding down the Football League, a small increase as they're shooting up the Football League seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, definitely this day and age and, football season tickets, some clubs you look at and go, bloody hell, you need to get a second mortgage to be able to buy season tickets. But obviously it's the golden ticket right now and I'm sure everyone's going to renew and I'm sure there's going to be a few people going to go, oh, I need to get it. And obviously if it is Premier League football, then they are going to be snapped up and they're going to be sellouts every week, which is pretty much what it is now anyway, even in the Championship. So I think a lot of people are excited. I know there's a few people going, when I got that email, I was like, yep, straight away, going to get that sorted. But it's when it's good football, sometimes it does go up a little bit more because obviously the club have got to be sensible as well with their pricing and everything like that. But I'm sure they're going to get a lot of renewals.
Yeah, so, I mean, Stewie, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say it's a fine balancing act, isn't it? Because, they've been stressing, especially with the FFP landscape at the moment, that every penny that comes into the club does make a difference. It's all very well having millions and millions of pounds of investment behind them, but there's what you bring into the club is restricts what you can spend. So gate receipts do make a big difference. And they probably could have put them up a lot higher and still got away with it. 21,000 season tickets this season. We've talked about it probably being the best value season ticket in the land in terms of games that have been won, but then the way they've been won as well, the amount of goals, the late drama, the comebacks, everything. First reaction is that's a pretty fair, reasonable compromise, really. They've put them up because they need to bring in a bit of extra money, but they've, you know, it's not too much either, I wouldn't say, for those, because, you know, we're in a cost of living crisis still at the moment. Times are tight for people. So I think that's pretty fair.
Do you know what we have, Stu? We've got Synergy. You've literally just there answered both the questions I was going to ask you. I don't even need to ask them now. You've just covered it, mate. Excellent work. That's what we are. Actually, I better not do too much of that. Friends, should we move on to the press conference from yesterday? Because there was a couple of big bits of news from yesterday. We're obviously expecting news on Wes Burns and his hamstring injury, which forced him to pull out of the Welsh squad. And I've got to be honest, Stu, yesterday I was expecting Kieran McKenna to come out and say, that's it for Wes Burns, he won't play again this season. But no, there is a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance? Exactly. Yeah. I'd say it's probably still a slim chance, judging by the information that we've got to go on. First of all, his reaction to that injury and the way he left the field. Then Kieran McKenna's comments fresh after that game that doesn't look like a minor one. Then Wes posted, I think, something on Instagram over the international break, sort of that suggested that, you know, it was sort of that it wasn't looking good. But Kieran McKenna stopped short of ruling out his season yesterday when we spoke to him and said that there's no surgery required, which is the first good thing, unlike sort of George Hurst, who had to undergo the knife on that hamstring back in January. Wes, they've decided, you know, isn't severe enough for him to have surgery, and they're going to wait for a second scan to before they can put sort of a time frame on it. So I guess we're kind of talking about whether the season might be extended into playoff territory, and then you're getting into an extra month of the season, and maybe, you know, could come back in time for that. But I'd still say it's sort of slim chances, but not completely ruled out.
Yeah. What was your take on that, Rossi? My concern when they say that he might be back, and clearly if they are in the playoffs and stuff, that's more likely by the sound of it, is that he comes back, he rushes himself back, and then gets a worse injury because he's sort of deconditioned, and clearly he'll want to play. So I'm sure Town will be very careful with him. But to hear that we might see him again is a bit of a boost, isn't it?
Yeah, when you hear hamstring, go, oh, you know, a George Hurst injury, you thought, oh, it's same as that, and that's his season done and dusted. Especially when he came off straight away. But yeah, some good news. But as you said, like, let's not rush him. You know, if he's not back for those playoff games, or, you know, if we, you know, second place, you never know. But yeah, I think those injuries, you don't want to risk it going getting worse for next season. You know, you want him to get really up to speed for pre-season. Unfortunately, sorry to the Welsh listeners out there. Obviously, Wales are not going to the Euros, so he ain't got to worry about missing that. If he does, you know, rush back and does get another injury. But sometimes I know you want to be part of this, and I'm sure he will be part of it. I'm sure he will be at the games and stuff like that. But if he's not fully fit, let's just don't rush yourself back, man. Get you ready for pre-season.
They'll know what they're doing. There was a long time where we talked about the amount of injuries that Ipswich Town were having, and how many setbacks they were going. Touch wood, you know, under the last couple of years, the injury record's been pretty good. People have come back ahead of time. Players that have had sort of questionable injury past seems to have become more robust. So whatever they're doing behind the scenes is working. Just doing a quick Dr. Watson Google, you know, a mild to moderate hamstring tear/strain can be 3 to 8 weeks. So if we're at the latter end of that scale, that's taken us into the heart of next month. We're talking sort of playoff territory there. But, you know, what a boost, even if you could have him back on the bench and come on and have a cameo role at some point. Who knows if that could be important. Same with George Hurst as well.
The doctor has spoken. We're going to see Hurst and Burns again before the end of the season. Superb. And then the other kind of interesting bit of news yesterday, Stu, was that you had a chance to speak to Kieran about Brandon Williams, who obviously has been in the news for the wrong reasons. And clearly we're not going to talk about that because it's an ongoing court proceedings and he's pleaded not guilty. Therefore, we have to be very careful about what we say. But just purely in terms of asking him whether or not Brandon would be back, what did he say to you yesterday?
Again, left it very open, not ruling it out. I'd be shocked if Brandon Williams returns to Ipswich Town and plays again for Ipswich Town. As you say, I think everyone's treading very carefully because proceedings are still live at the moment. So a pretty straight bat on that one. He's effectively a Manchester United player, and we're waiting for Manchester United to say whether he's ready to play or not. So if he can get himself match ready, then potentially, but if not, then no. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that we've now got 8 games left of the regular season. You're talking about someone then, you know, I don't know how much training, if any, Brandon Williams has been doing since he's gone back to United in January. You're talking about getting him back up to speed. I'd say that's very unlikely, just literally looking at it as an outsider like everyone else at the moment.
And in terms of Brandon Williams probably not coming back, Ross, clearly at one point he was the unquestioned starter there. Now we've got Harry Clark and also Axel Tuanzebe's been playing there. So maybe not the blow it once would have been.
Yeah, when we sort of first got the news that he's not going to be involved for a while, it's like, oh no, you know, that he was doing, you know, I still remember his tackle. Was it against Preston? Oh, his goal against Preston, sorry. And, now the Norwich derby, obviously, you know, he went up for that. And after that, it just, yeah, unfortunately, hasn't been evolved because of what's going on. But yeah, now with Axel Tuanzebe playing really well at right back, obviously Harry Clark is, you know, I know he's had those Achilles problems, but I feel like he looks, you know, back to his sort of best, really, Harry Clark. So, yeah, at first you think, oh, no, we haven't got the options. But now I'm pretty happy with it. So, yeah, bring on the next 8 games with those options.
Right then. And just maybe one final bit from yesterday, Stu, is again, clearly the first time you got to speak to Kieran about the big Make It Rain investment news from last Friday. And as you say, there's not, I mean, he can't sit there and go like Robbie Williams on which were our wildest dreams, which is not really Kieran's style anyway. But what did he say when obviously asked about that?
Yeah, a fairly typically sort of low-key considered response, as we've come to expect from the manager, but just talked about it, sort of securing the medium to long-term future of the football club. I think everyone involved as sort of the playing and management side of things at the moment is mindful that football is very transient. People come and go, and what this investment does, the benefits of it might not be shown until a bit further down the line. And maybe, you know, Massimo Luongo talked about it yesterday, saying that who knows, by the time the training ground is built and by the time it really sort of comes into fruition, he might not be there, others might not be there, but they'll take some great pride in looking back and feeling like they were part of the start of something really special, that they were kind of the forebearers to all the good stuff that's hopefully going to keep on following for Ipswich Town. So, yeah, it's obviously a positive that it seems like, as we said in the pod earlier in the week, that these new guys are not only bringing some additional money, but they seem like they're the right fit culturally for the club as well. And that was, you know, the first concern for me was the pension fund guys have been fantastic in terms of their accessibility, in terms of getting the community side of the club, the family side of the club and all of that. And these new guys, this eclectic bunch of new investors, look like they really fit with that as well. So that's good.
I don't know if you can hear my emails going mental there, friends. Apologies if you can. That's interfering with the audio. But it is good news because just confirmed that the boys can actually go to Southampton game on Monday. So there we go. That's important. Right then, we're going to obviously speak about Blackburn and Southampton in due course and Fabio Wardley, but I thought with it being run up to Easter, holiday for most people, sensible enough to have jobs, that means they get 4 days off. I thought we'd do a bit of mailbag. And Ross, you're our music man. Fancy singing a bit of a jingle?
Yeah, okay then, sure.
Yes, go on, son.
Why not? Why not? Why not? Yeah, we need AJ. We need to just get AJ to do a pre-record. Or maybe we'll just get Hutchie back for a little cameo. You know, if you listen to Hutchie, you fancy it. He probably doesn't. He's probably not allowed.
No.
Yeah. Too big time now. But anyway, it's time to do it. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Mailbag. It's time for Mark, Stu and Roscoe to dip into the mailbag. There you go.
Ross, that was superb. You've been hiding your light under a bushel, my friend. Why have you been so reluctant when you can pull that out of your locker at short notice?
I don't know. Just stage fright. I always looked at everyone.
When I hear that,
yeah.
when I hear that song, I was worried you were going to get the names wrong, because in my head, it's always Mark, Andy, Stu and Ross for that. So well done, mate. You did really well there. Right, I'm going to start. It's Easter, so I'm going to start with questions about chocolate from Mark Jubb and Reese Curtis. They want to know. Mark Jubb, hope you enjoyed the Maldives, by the way, Jubster. Love the show. And as Easter, which choice of chocolate egg would each of the kings choose the bunny to bring them on Sunday? Reese Curtis says, what are the king's favourite chocolate bars? For me, nothing beats Galaxy Cookie Crumble, which sounds terrifically exotic. I've not had that. So, friends, go on then, Rossi. You, I bet you're the big chocolate man among us. What's your favourite chocolate?
Oh, like anything me, to be fair. Just any chocolate bar, just give it to me.
That's quite threatening, that.
Yeah, it was, yeah. For the service station stops, and Stu's probably seen this, I have, they do a deal, like two for, I don't know, some ridiculous price, to be fair, but I just get it anyway, cause, you know, get two chocolate bars. But I do like a Twirl. I do like a Whisper. Stu always does the little joke. And I always like get caught out. I never actually like, what are we talking about? Oh, now I've got it. But yeah, 12 Whisper. I like that. I like a Whisper Gold as well.
Lots of little jokes, Stu.
That's a classic dad joke. Ross will come in the car and he'll have his chocolate bars. And I'll say, what have you got? And he'll say, whatever. And a Whisper. A what? And he'll say, a Whisper. What is it? A Whisper. And then eventually the penny will drop. Classic dad joke. Also along the lines of, for example, we're playing Southampton on Monday.
Yeah.
The newspaper that covers them will get mentioned. The Southampton Echo. The what? Southampton Echo. I get some every time.
I'd like to say, friends, I hope you're enjoying this, because Ross and Stu are on fantastic form today. Tip top, top of the shop form. Stu, let's do one for you. No, actually, you haven't said your favourite chocolate, have you, friend?
All of the chocolate, but I don't know if this is, again, a dad thing. I remember my dad always getting Toblerones when I was growing up. Suddenly now I've got a thing for Toblerones. So that's like a Father's Day, birthday staple. Get me a Toblerone. I'll be happy with that.
Much so smaller now, though, aren't they, Stu?
Yeah, and the gaps are bigger between the triangles as well.
Bloody fun police again, isn't it?
Mm.
Ruining our fun. I don't really like chocolate, friends. Sorry to say. I think it's really overrated. I would never pick chocolate over any kind of other snack. But I do, when I have been known to eat a chocolate bar, it would be a Snickers, formerly known as a Marathon, for those of you as old as me. Right,
you're ridiculous, man. Chocolate overrated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Shall we do a football question? Where are we? This is a good one for you, Stewie. Amber Redmond. Lots of chat this week about how far Town have come since the takeover. I'd love to hear reflections on changes related to how the media are handled and how it's impacted your jobs. Watto, you're definitely best placed to answer this, being as you've covered Town for more than a decade. They've seen big changes. How have things changed since the American money came in and Mr. Ashton and the new media team?
Marcus Nash obviously came in as the head of media under the new ownership and has been fantastic to deal with. It's added sort of a bit of drive to things behind the scenes, but I think it's the sort of direct access that we've got to the likes of Mark Ashton and the ownership at times. Obviously, you have to go through the right portals to do so. But just, yeah, that was not the case under Marcus Evans before, was it? So, just a nice, healthy line of communications. Obviously, it's all great when the sun is shining and things are going well. A little bit different to sort of before when, you know, we've had some tense times with Messrs. Lambert and co, and asking tough questions of ownership and things like that. So it's just a very different landscape at the moment. So making hay while the sun shines, who knows, you know, cycles come and go and things will change further down the line. But I think we've put in place some really good foundations to deal with that as and when it comes, hopefully.
Importantly, they've upped the quality of Scran in the media room, haven't they, as well, Rossi? That's been a big uptick.
Yeah, of course, because, once again, I'm happy for any free food. You know, sausage roll and a pie was fine, but every week it's like, it's a bit boring, doesn't it, after a while. But no, every week, you know, Marcus actually comes into the media suite and he always asks me, what's the rating then, Roscoe? And I want to give it a top notch. It has been pretty good this season. So, keep up. Looking forward to the next, you know, four home games with the media scrum.
They have got appointed this one guy who's a bit of a tosser, to be honest. But we'll overlook that.
Absolutely. And if you've seen this morning, Oscar-winning performance from said tosser on season ticket promotion video. Love you, Hutchie. Hope you're doing well. Tony Southgate wants to know, what's the greatest sporting movie of all time, Rossi?
Ooh, Mike Bassett, the England manager.
I've never seen that.
What?
It's good though, is it?
Yeah, just it's a mockumentary, obviously, about, you know, basically Ricky, what's his name, Ricky Thomason, who played
Royal Family
guy. Yeah, he just becomes England manager. Although he's got connection to Norwich. He won the title with Norwich.
Oh,
and but then he became England manager, and it's good bit of fun, and some of the characters in it is great. I like Cool Runnings.
Oh yes, now we're talking.
Like Beckham. I've actually I don't really like Formula One, really controversial probably, but there's a film called Rush.
Oh yeah,
very good film as well.
That's superb. Cool Running's an unbelievable shout, by the way, Ross. That's it's a left wing one, but that's superb.
Yeah.
Stewie, what about your favourite sports films?
You can get them quite badly wrong, can't you? Oh,
sorry,
Siri's getting involved.
My phone thought I was asking it.
That's AI coming for us at some stage. You can get sports films quite badly wrong. They can be quite cheesy,
really
can't they? Do you remember football ones in particular? Do you remember they did one called Goal? I think they did more than one, actually. It was based around Newcastle. Yeah. I don't think I've seen them, but I know they've been...
The first one weren't too bad.
Is that the one with Ally McCoystin? Is that one when he played a manager and there's Robert Duvall, Hollywood legend?
What was that?
Anyway, I'm digressing. Sorry,
Cool Runnings is a good shout. We always have to mention Escape to Victory here, given the Ipswich Town connections. What other ones is there?
Do you know Escape to Victory, by the way, while you think about other ones, put a damper on that. In real life, all but two of those guys were recaptured and 50 of them were executed. So it didn't end happily. Anyway, on you go, Stu.
I'll tell you what I watched the other day. I think it's on iPlayer. They made a film about the German goalkeeper who stayed in the UK and broke his neck in the cup
final.
Bert Trautmann, yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but that was really
well
done.
It's called The Keeper. That, by the way, that there's a book out there about Bert Trautmann, a biography of him. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, going from being basically forced into serving in the Nazi youth and then ending up as a prisoner of war in England. Playing, he was obviously brilliant at football, and then clearly everyone knows Bert Trautmann because he broke his neck and carried on playing in the FA Cup final. It's an unbelievable story and befitting a film. I've never watched that film, Stu.
Very good.
So you're saying it's worth a look?
Absolutely, yeah.
Outstanding. I would say When We Were Kings, which is the documentary about the Rumble in the Jungle, which has all that kind of brilliant archive footage of Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. That's an amazing film. And Invictus, which is the story of South Africa winning the Rugby World Cup post-apartheid, Nelson Mandela, which is an adaptation of the book The 12th Man by John Carlin, I believe. I might have got that wrong. And that's also an excellent book. So those would be my picks.
I've got another one. Rocky Four.
Rocky Four, the classic. The best montage in the history of films is that training montage where him and Ivan Drago are training. And Drago's on the old juice, isn't he, as well? Fantastic. Rocky's running up like a snow-covered mountain.
Does Jerry Maguire count?
That's a good film. Yeah, that I guess that would be a sports film.
Happy Gilmore?
Oh, yes.
Oh, now we're pulling out some real classics. Superb. Was that your other one, Rossi?
No, the other one was King Richard, which I watched
that's good.
Before. I actually watched that on the train to Swansea. People behind a curtain there on the train, just watched it. And it's not bad. Obviously about the Williams sisters and tennis. I'm not a big tennis fan, but it's very interesting to hear their story and stuff like that. And it's on Netflix. So I'm giving them some plugs here. But yeah, good watch.
That is a good film. Excellent. Callum Pritchett wants to know, it's an Olympic year, so who's getting put into what event? I'd say Stu for weightlifting as a guarantee, clearly. So Watson, you'd obviously be banging out the Olympic lifting. I assume you'd be quite happy with that.
I don't know about that.
I'd like to see you in one of those really super tight leotards they wear and a lifting belt.
Okay.
You don't have to be lifting weights. You just wear it. That's fine.
Is that a request or a demand?
That's an order from your boss. Rossi, what would you fancy doing at the Olympics? Because they've got breakdancing, haven't they, coming up in Paris? That would be surely you ever done the old electric boogaloo?
I've been told I'm not a bad dancer, and I've got a few alcohol.
I've seen it, mate. We saw it in Manchester.
Yes, that as well. I did do some research on this. I wanted to know Olympic events because there's always new ones every year, and they're trampolining. So I'll be up for that. Just do some flips on the trampoline and don't break my neck.
Interesting, isn't it? The darts isn't in the Olympics because it's not a sport. Watto, weightlifting, anything more from you?
Darts any different to archery? Discuss.
I suppose archery is like long range darts, isn't it? I would say it probably involves more athletic ability. Well, in fact, I definitely would say it involves more athletic ability because you've got to hold out that bow up. And I don't know if you ever tried archery. Those bows are pretty heavy. Stu, now I'm remembering a name from past, you used to interview Nicky Hunt quite a lot, didn't you? And the Commonwealth Games archer from Ipswich. And she said her practice regimen was ridiculously dull. Because basically she just stood in the field firing arrows at a board for hours on end.
Well remembered, yeah. And her husband as well. The two of them competed at elite level, both from Ipswich.
What would I do in the Olympics? What can you do as an old man in the Olympics? Golf? No, I'm terrible at golf.
Croquet.
Croquet's in the Olympics, is it?
It is, yeah.
That's, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go then. Time Shut for me up. To dominate. Is it really?
Yeah.
Have you made that up?
That up?
No, I'm not making it up. Honestly, it's a sport. I've looked.
No, I know croquet is a sport, but it's in the Olympics, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
In that case, it's time for Heath to take over the international croquet scene. I'm not sure I've got time for Paris 2024, but
are you joking? Is that just been added?
They get to add demonstration sports, don't they? Like break. This is why the breakdancing's come in.
Yeah.
Can you confirm croquet is an Olympic sport, please?
A quick look again.
I'd like to see you try BMX, Mark. You could put on your down with the fellow kids. You could put on your backwards hat, and
I would crash within seconds, my friend, in a spectacular fashion, which I suppose would make good TV. So why not for the people? Right, football question. Tom Crowhurst, Stewie, wants to know if the Town were to do the unthinkable and return to the promised land. Which position on the pitch needs strengthening first?
That's a good question, isn't it? I think immediately you've got to think about any holes that loan players leave.
Yeah. How would Cameron Burgess and Luke Wolfenden do it Premier League level, do you reckon, for example?
It's really hard because it's really hard to say because I think my overarching thoughts are that there would need to be some upgrades in probably various departments. But I thought that after they went up from League One, to be fair, and I said that it was only fair that those guys were given the chance to see whether they would sink or swim at Championship level. They'd earned the right by the way they'd stormed over the line. And they've done it, and they've exceeded everybody's expectations. And I think that squad unity counts for so much. And maybe it translating from, it was essentially a Championship side in League One. So is this a Premier League side in the Championship? No, it's not. So I think there would be multiple areas. But I think it would be rather than maybe upgrading starters, we've talked about that sort of waterline rising and maybe they would look to sort of upgrade the bottom end of the squad, for want of a better phrase, and then see how that sort of pushes on others. But I don't want to sound sort of too disingenuous to a team that's been so special and has got Ipswich into such a special place now. It feels at this stage a bit wrong to be sort of talking about, well, they'd be no good and get rid of them. And I think naturally there'd be an evolution. Of course there would.
Very diplomatic, Stu. Good work.
Sorry.
That's fine. We've also had questions from Peter, our man in Poland, asking about, or actually saying that he'd rather them stay in the Championship for another season. And Tom, who just asked, our Town Leader to go up. Now, clearly, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago when I put the question, the elephant in the room. And I think, upon reflection, obviously, I said at the time, I thought Town would struggle in the Premier League. And I'd probably still say so. But they've earned the right for us to trust them, haven't they? You know, they've already defied all expectations this season. What they're doing at the moment shouldn't be possible. So who's to say they couldn't do it again in the Premier League? It would be even higher odds against them. But there's something special, isn't there, about Kieran McKenna in this squad? So
is there ever a good time? I think you can apply this to everything in life. You know, when people talk about, I don't know, starting a family or buying a house, you can wait till all your ducks are in a row. And you can spend your whole lifetime sort of waiting for the right moment. Sometimes you've just got to seize the day, take the opportunity, and then roll with the punches. I think that's where I'm at with it. Is there ever a right time? And that, you know, will Ipswich be in this position again? We don't know. Things could change very, very quickly in football. The manager could go, players could leave. I'm not going to say that, as I said before, I'm not going to sit here and say it would be a good thing if they didn't go up this year.
No, of course. Of course. We want Ipswich Town to be in the Premier League, don't we? Let's get there and then worry about it. Carpe diem, Stu, you might say. That's Latin. You asked about time there. Nigel G, friend of the show, man with the big fish, says, if you could have lived in any era/civilization from the past, e.g. Stone Age, medieval Romans, Vikings, Victorian, etc., what would it have been and why? Ross, if I gave you a time machine and said you can go anywhere and have a look and live the life of Halls in a different era, where would you go?
Ooh. Yeah, Viking, why not? Obviously, I want to be a Viking. Obviously, I know they were not very nice people either. But I'd rather be...
They might think you are a Viking because of the look, yeah. Mate. Maybe. You've got the beard.
Series was pretty good until the ending. Yeah.
Yeah, the last few seasons weren't that good.
But... Yeah, they weren't great. But, you know, there's a few good episodes. But,
so would you be an Anglo-Saxon in that scenario, i.e. someone living in England and fending off the Vikings, or would you be a Viking?
I think I'd be a Viking because they were pretty successful, weren't they, in the early days. Obviously, they came here and did some very bad things and a lot of murder and other bits and bobs. But yeah, at least they came over and they took over. And in the end, they did get... Did they get defeated? Somewhat. It was just they just all merged, didn't they?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But yeah, I mean, York's a nice place, mate. I mean, obviously, that was a stronghold. You might fancy a little bit of Jorvik. Watson, how about you? Where would you go?
Bit of ancient Greece.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? Just like a toga?
Because for a starter. Look like good feasts and parties and that. Do a bit of philosophy.
To be fair, Stu, you are a Stoic. Yeah, I mean, that is you. You'd be a great Stoic.
There you go.
Initially, I thought, obviously, like all men, I thought, Roman Empire, innit? But clearly, there was a Roman Republic before the Roman Empire. So which one do you choose there? Do you want to be in a dictatorship or, in theory, a democracy, but is also ruled by a lot of unsavory folks? But obviously the Roman Empire or the Roman Republic, they had things that after they went, we didn't have again for like 1,000 years. They had like, obviously, underfloor heating, for example, is a Roman thing. They had unbelievable roads. They had all these tremendous buildings, which after they went, we didn't have the technology to do for another 1,000 years, friends. So it would have been quite nice to do that. In fact,
they're always banging on about their roads, aren't they, the Romans?
Well, they did make some very good roads. It's got to be said to you. I mean, they still exist. And we're talking, 2,000 plus years ago. So they knew what they were doing, the Romans, in terms of the old manufacturing of things. So I quite like that. And I like the idea that after the Roman Empire finished, we then had a term for them not being around, the Dark Ages, until the Renaissance, you know, like literally 1,000 years later, 1500s onwards, and then technology started to improve and people started to do things again that the Romans had once done. And I'm sure I'm going to get lots of historians come at me now and say, that's totally wrong, Heath, but that's as I remember it. Charlie Rozier, come at me. Tell me I'm wrong. So I would either say that or I'd say the 90s. I had an epiphany the other day when myself and my wife having a couple of whiskies and listening to a bit of tunes. I think society, civilization peaked in the 90s. I don't think there's been any good songs, any music, good music made since the 90s. You had Blur, Oasis, you had the height of hip hop. Obviously, we had classic football tournaments as well. So I didn't really appreciate it at the time. You were born. That was going to be as good as it got. And I didn't appreciate it. So I'd like to go back there and enjoy it. Ross, can you think of any good songs made since 1999?
There's been a few little bangers here and there, you know, in the 2000s. But yeah, modern music. I'm sounding old now. yeah, I have to admit, when I do go on, it's on Spotify, New Music Friday, they call it. There's a few on there. I think, what is this? Obviously, fair play to the people who, you know, create this music. They put a lot of effort into play. It and yeah. stuff. But yeah, not as good as, you know, the 90s and 2000s and, you know, 80s and stuff. But yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Exactly, Watson. And we'll tell AJ that when he's back. Speaking of AJ, he had a question he wanted us to answer, which is thus. The Maldives, i.e. The idyllic paradise from which I've just returned, I've barely stopped talking about, are on your lookout for a whole new crew to run their international football side, which seems quite an appealing thing. And AJ said, just put in the group chat, what would we do in that scenario? What would each of us do in terms of roles? So clearly AJ would have to be some sort of statistician slash analyst, wouldn't he? With his XG, his XGA, his XGO, XGP, whatever it's called. He'd be telling them what all that meant. Stu, what do you think the rest of us would do?
Can I throw my hat in the ring to be the groundsman, please?
Why do you want to be the groundsman?
I've done a little bit on the garden recently at home.
Oh, have you?
I just quite liked being outside. I've always liked the idea of just doing something sort of, you know, outdoorsy, manual, switch your brain off, listen to a bit of music or a podcast while I'm doing it. Just change it up a little bit. I know you wasn't expecting that.
And I wasn't,
you know,
mate.
We're in the Maldives as well. So
I reckon.
Yeah.
Cultivate some good grass in the Maldives given their
I mean,
conditions.
I've got a little troublesome patch in the shade in my garden at the moment that I'm struggling with. So I don't know how I'm gonna deal with going straight in to do a football pitch in the Maldives, but well, there's some YouTube videos and that. I'll work it out.
You're embracing middle age there as well, Stu. You got that transition. You can either have to start banging on about combat history.
Yeah.
Which that's the route I've gone down, and also whiskey. You have to either start taking barbecuing really seriously, smoking meat, or you get really into doing the garden stuff like that. You've gone the garden route, Stu. You've made
garden route. I'm very excited to see if my wisteria is gonna bloom soon.
That's so am I.
Really excited.
Really am excited about that. Rossi, so we've got groundsman Stew, we've got analyst statistician AJ. We still need a manager. So
you've got to be the gaffer, aren't you?
I can't be the gaffer. Of all of us, I'd be the worst manager. You have to have someone who knows the ins and outs of the game of football. I mean, Stew has all the terminology and the knowledge. So if there is going to be a manager, I'd say it probably should be Stu. He's also got the Ten Hag about him. What would you be, Rossi?
Ooh, I would say I'd be the kit man, but I need to be organised to do that.
So, yeah, you would. Sorry, I've lost the kit.
Got the balls. Basically, that's a Mike Bassett funny thing. And I think it did actually happen one day in the day, I think the 90s. And I basically forgot the footballs and there to like just pretend to kick. Pretend football. maybe that.
We're in skins again today. Ross has forgot to wash the kit.
Yeah. Yeah. I get tips as well from the players. Normally kit man does. So, you know, I'll take that. Although the Maldives, I don't know, it's a lot of money in the Maldives. So the players will be wealthy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. So we're without a manager. I'm going to appoint Stu as a manager and groundsman. Double the wages. I'd have to be something on the strength and conditioning side. I'd be getting involved. I'd still love to speak to people at town about their gym regime, the nutrition of the players, all that kind of stuff. That fascinates me. It's boring, but it's my life, as the saying goes. So I'd love to get involved on that side of things. Stu's writing something down. What's he doing?
No, he's just reminded me of someone I need to contact off.
Oh, okay.
But it's boring admin.
Your personal trainer. Your personal trainer.
No.
Robert Enderby, what has been your most bizarre assignment in journalism? What's the strangest thing you've done in your career to date in terms of journalism? Watson.
I think you'll have more because you've done news journalism before you moved into sport. The early stages, I got sent out on various assignments to kind of try things out.
Was
it called wakeboarding at Centre Parks when that opened, where they drag you around on like a zip line on a wakeboard. I went to an indoor go-karting venue and raced this up and coming, I think she was about 8 or 9, girl that was sort of rising through the ranks of karting, and she absolutely whipped me. ridden horses, did all sorts of weird stuff like that.
How are you on a horse, Stu?
Not great.
Rossi, have you done anything weird in your time with us or indeed as a journalist?
Yeah, when I used to work on the news desk, I got asked to go to the, what's it called? Let me get it out quickly. The Festival of Wills, which I think is at Trinity Park. And I got asked to get some footage of me basically riding a monster truck, or being in a monster truck. So I wouldn't say that's weird. It was great fun. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, you're going to be going into this monster truck. We just need you to get footage of it. I was like, fair enough. And that was, yeah, it was good fun.
Did you actually drive it?
Oh, God.
Ross being let loose in a monster truck.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Sorry, that building just squashed that building. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
That was
carnage at the Suffolk Show as Ross gets behind the wheel of a monster truck. Also, of course, Ross, when I mentioned the Suffolk Show, you also played Tractor Boy, which is quite a bizarre assignment, and competed in a race wearing a 30-year-old stinking head. Yeah, you did. Yeah. I mean, my background, obviously, as a news journalist, you look at the series Afterlife with Ricky Gervais in, and those kind of slightly ridiculous things that he has to do. I've pretty much done all of those. That's extremely accurate. The kind of, from golden weddings to really minor kind of things we had to go and cover. I used to have to go and cover things like 100-year-old birthdays. That used to be quite a rare thing back in the day. I remember doing one where the lady was blind and pretty much deaf. And we had a picture of her with a cake, and she said, "I've never had it so good." And I thought, "I think you have." I think you have. What else have I done? It's weird. I remember having to go out and have pictures of, there was the classic local news, cockerels in a village crowing too loud and waking up the locals. So I had to go and find these cockerels and have my picture with them. I interviewed the manager of McDonald's in Bury once, who was called Dave Cheese. That's an aside. I've done so many weird. Oh, I interviewed a guy who'd written a book about auras at Waterstones in Bury, and I asked him what my aura looked like, and he wouldn't tell me, which I thought was an ominous sign. So I don't know if he'd seen some darkness in me, but yeah, a lot too much to mention really in terms of weird things that I've done in my life as a journalist. Let's get back to the questions. What should we do? Okay. Ross, Sam Simon and Brightpath. This is from Tom Baines, by the way, Bainesy. Sam Simon and Brightpath give the four of you enough money to set up an ITFC feeder club in the US. What's the team name? Which city do you call home? And what role would each of you take? Keep up the great work, gents. I've subbed again. Well worth it. Tom, you're a legend, a gentleman and a scholar. And right now you can get 2 months of all our coverage for just £2 in our Easter offer, or indeed 30% off a whole year. So go and join the growing number of people who have done. We really appreciate it. So Ross, you're setting up an American sports team. What are you calling them? What sport? Where are you going?
There is some really great names in there in America, with some of the names. I was looking at some like defunct names just to sort of see if we can take them or reform them. But yeah, what city? Let's you know, make this as a brainchild for all of us. So what was the sports team
you said that, was it Sam Simon's already involved in, Stu? Was it the Halifax something heads?
Halifax Mooseheads.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Which we think are a hockey team, right?
Canadian ice hockey team, yeah.
That is a beautiful name. Where would you fancy being based? I'd quite like to be in Las Vegas.
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too. Yeah. There is a team called Las Vegas Lights, so we need a better name than that. So
we've also got the Las Vegas Raiders, obviously, in the NFL. What sport would we do? So NFL's tied up.
We've got to get Kings in there, obviously, with something Kings.
Las Vegas Kings.
There you go.
Quite a nice ring to that, isn't there? What sport would we do, though? Because it would need to be... Obviously, I'd say NFL's done. I think they've... I'm not sure if they've got a hockey team. They've certainly got a WNBA team, Las Vegas.
Maybe we can combine all of our events that we're doing at the Olympics. And that's kind of we're a multi-sport club that involves a bit of croquet, BMX.
We're all things to all people. How about cricket? Las Vegas Knights cricket side. Cricket is trying to break into America, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we could really sex up cricket in Las Vegas, couldn't we?
Yeah.
That flaming ball idea I had years ago, we could introduce that. The fire over. On the subject of the Olympics, by the way, boys, did you see that, you know, we once spoke about the drug Olympics and allowing people to take whatever they want and compete? That's actually happening. They're actually doing that. That's a thing. So I don't know if where they got the idea from, I assume from us. Right, two more questions.
Do you want a picture of me on a horse before we move on?
Yes.
There you go.
Friends, you have to subscribe just to see this picture. Because Watson, I mean, how would you describe your look on that horse, Watson? I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'd say embarrassed, slightly coquettish, somewhat sarcastic, maybe. You don't look too happy about having your picture taken in full. Do you remember we used to have to wear shirt and tie, by the way, back in the day in the office, in full office garb? Can you remember the horse's name, Stu?
No. Lovely white horse, isn't it, looking at it?
Absolutely. So
there you go. I'm taking that away.
Stu's question getting. Passed. Very much worth doing.
And probably right. Alex's age there.
Wow.
Wow. A long time ago. Chris Bennett, mainly for Mark. Top three places to eat in Suffolk. Ross, where's your favourite place to eat in Suffolk? Better Napa, are you going to say?
No. Not at all. I do like... There's a place in Wandering Field. I think I mentioned this before, although I forgot what it's called.
The Maybush?
Yeah, the Maybush. Like the Maybush.
On
like
the
Fox Inn in the newborn Fox Inn, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I just want something quick, Better Napoli is a place to go. So big shout out to them. It's free in Ipswich. So
it's free? Know,
it's free. Not free. It's three of them. Three different places. So yeah, it's solid. You know, you get Yeah, solid. And place.
Free to Ross. Stu, where's your favourite place to go? You've had some good news. You're celebrating your book launch. You're now massive. Where are you taking Mrs. Watson for a celebration slap-up meal?
We don't really go out to eat that much. When you have a small child and little childcare nearby, it's quite difficult. I think I should just defer to you, really, our food and drink specialist. Who's paying for all this, by the way? I read your latest one and you're like, room here, brackets, 200 and something quid. And then we had the starter, brackets, 15 quid. Then we had a flight of wine.
Well, at source,
I have to pay for it. Shady news quest.
At source, I have to pay for it. I do have to invest a certain amount of money now in these reviews. It didn't used to be the case, but it is now, sadly. So I do get a contribution towards it, but... a lot of the time, I'm funding the vast majority of it. So there we go. It's just something I enjoy doing and I enjoy writing about. So where to? Lark in Bury is a sensational new restaurant. I had probably the best pasta I've ever had there. Go and try their cacio e pepe. Fantastic. Tudner Mill, one of our happy places. Go there. That's fantastic. Lee Buys place. I'd also say the Peacock in Chelsworth. Fantastic pub. Bilderston Crown, which is where I've just been. It's the best meal we've had so far this year. Where we had a Chateaubriand main, which is basically a sharing platter of steak, which was expensive, but absolutely worth it. For me, I like nothing more than having a good meal out. That feeling of being looked after, trying new things, quality time with your other half it's just lovely. That's kind of my one of my main passions. So there we go. There's a few there to be cracking on with. I'm also, for my next column, friends, going to write about the cheaper eats you can get in Suffolk. Because just like Stu says there, that's some of the feedback I've been getting. You, my friend, are a food snob. You only go places that are really expensive. Guilty as charged. So I'm going to try and find places that are a bit cheaper and things you can get for under a tenner, for example. So if you do have those, let me know and I'll include them perhaps in my next food column. One more question before we get back to the football and I'll stop talking about food. That's the sound of people turning off their radios in cars across the country. Patrick Palmer has resurfaced. Double P used to be the king of Photoshop. Time to sound kings to their Game of Thrones houses. This is particularly for you, Stu. Who is the king coming back on a dragon to reclaim the throne and then turn mad and burn the city? Spoiler alert. Who is the conniving Lannister? Who is the honourable Stark who gets the head chopped off? Who is the insane child suckling at their mother's teats? Watson, you're a Game of Thrones expert. Who would you have in each of those roles? So you reckon I'm going to come back on a dragon and ultimately go mad?
Yeah, you got a bit of fire in you. I think
I definitely have. Yeah, I should not be given a dragon on a bad day.
Yeah, I think you're Targaryen. We'll have to get your hair bleached for that. What's Ross?
I think Ross is probably the honourable Stark.
I think so as well.
His heart is pure.
I think he gets, yeah.
I don't know what this is, by the way. I've never watched Game of Thrones, so we need to.
What?
I know it's controversial, but just never got around to it.
Ross gets done at the Red Wedding quite early doors, I think.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
So we've left with the conniving Lannisters and the insane child, which clearly has to be AJ, doesn't it? Because he is a child.
Harsh, given given what the rest of that sentence was as well. We'll overlook that part.
I
can't remember what the other houses are now. It's been ages. I'll be Stark. Let's move on.
Okay. I don't know who the conniving Lannister would be either. Anyway, are the books any good, by the way, Stu? I've consistently stuck to I'm not reading fiction, but lately I've been branching out into a little bit of fiction. So it's worth getting involved in those, is it?
Yeah, give them a go.
Excellent. Right, should we return to football from fiction to fact? It's fact. Ipswich Town have got a huge weekend coming up. It starts with Blackburn away tomorrow. No, what day is it? Thursday. It is tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
Friday. Good Friday, 5:30 p.m. at Blackburn. Blackburn. Struggling, it's fair to say. Not one since February the 10th. They're struggling to score under new boss John Eustace. They used to be swashbuckling, entertaining / kamikaze, didn't they, under John Dahl. But under Eustace, he certainly solidified them a bit, but kind of made them less prolific. In fact, they've only scored 6 goals in the last 8 games. So they've scored the same amount of goals as Town did in 1 game in 8 games. So how are we feeling about this one? Stuart Watson, obviously you spoke to Kieran about it yesterday. What did he make of it?
What did Kieran make of it? I think he is obviously very aware that stylistically they're very different under the new manager, as you say. A very different side to the one that Ipswich beat 4-3 in one of those early mad games at Portman Road earlier in the season. You mentioned the goals drying up for them, but they've also tightened up at the back under John Eustace, who has proven that he was a very capable manager at Birmingham, controversially sacked there earlier in the season before they went down the Wayne Rooney failed experiment. If you look at John Eustace sound bites, it's all about the character and the spirit of the lads, and I think he's just trying to get them sort of to battle their away from the relegation zone, only 3 points above the drop at the moment. So lots of draws in their last few games. If you have a look at it, he still hasn't won a game in charge. I think he was in the stands when they beat Stoke in that aforementioned game in the middle of February. Since then, they've drawn against Preston, Cardiff, Norwich, Millwall, Plymouth, Middlesbrough. 0-0s and 1-1s has been the order of the day for Blackburn. So it looks to me like it could be one of those games where Ipswich have to go and battle and grind it out. And they've shown that they can do that before. Obviously, didn't quite get it over the line at Cardiff, but they've done it at places like Swansea and various other places as well. It feels like it's going to be that sort of day to me for Ipswich Town.
Right then. Questions around the side, Stu, I'll stick with you because I know Ross doesn't really like talking about starting 11s, doesn't care. But clearly the questions, Who replaces Wes Burns? There seems to be an obvious answer. Will Cameron Burgess be able to play? Because he's flown long haul all the way back from Australia. He's only just got home. And clearly that involves sitting for a long time, which is not good for a professional athlete. And you've also obviously got the Welsh duo, Kiefer Moore especially, who played 120 minutes of rock'em sock'em, rustling, bustling football, and then had his heart broken on Tuesday night. So what are your thoughts on all of those potential questions around the side?
Kiefer Moore looked absolutely dead on his feet in extra time, even in the latter stages of the 90 minutes. There was a stage just after half-time where he was looking a real handful, had a great header, looping header, clawed out the top corner by Chesney, was winning a lot of fouls. But a bit like that Cardiff game where we said, did he really need to come off at the end? And obviously Ipswich paid for it with conceding goals at set pieces. He was flagging at the end of that game, and he was understandably flagging there. This is someone you've got to remember didn't play a huge amount of football for Bournemouth in the first half of the season. It's maybe, you know, has played a lot of games, bless you, Ross, in the last since joining Ipswich. I think this will be a big ask for him to start this game. I know he's a key player. I know he's scored a lot of goals, but bearing in mind you've got a huge game against Southampton coming up on Monday, that you've got the East Anglian derby then following next weekend. To me, this feels like Ali El Hamady, this is your time to step up and start maybe as a striker.
And in terms of the other questions, Ross, I'm going to come to you now. Amari Hutchinson surely in for Wes Burns. That seems obvious. Amari's been on absolutely ridiculous run recently, so he has to start, and there's an obvious place for him to slot into the side, you suggest. And then big Cameron Burgess. Clearly, we're not privy to what kind of condition he's in after all this travel. But again, there's George Edmondson, isn't there, and Axel Tuensebe waiting in the wings. Is there any way you'd go there?
Yeah, Amari, guaranteed starter. And your Burgess, it's a lot of travel. He has played games as well. I know they weren't as tiring as probably the, you know, obviously Kiefer Moore's game. Obviously Kiefer Moore 120 minutes plus penalties in the heartbreak of that, but obviously the travel, Cameron Burgess. I'm trying to think, because last time he went on international break, did he play? He didn't play the next game, did he, when he came back, or did he?
I don't think so.
So yeah, I think this is probably a good opportunity for George Edmondson to start, and then yeah, Burgess can get ready for Monday against Southampton. So yeah, I'll probably go that way.
He's only due back today, Cameron Burgess. He played in Canberra on Tuesday night in Australia, and then he's had, you know, obviously a day of travel back. Again, I think that's a big ask. The only thing there is that you'd say out of the two games, Blackburn, Southampton, he's arguably more suited to this kind of roll up the sleeves, scrappy game away from home against Blackburn. Sam Gallagher up front for them, obviously someone that Ipswich coveted in January, who's a, you know, tall, physical front man. So do they think we'll just get him through this one? I don't know the logistics of where Cameron Burgess will land, whether he can go straight to the north and link up with the team or anything like that. But again, I think it's probably a big ask for him to start this one, but I would say that's more likely than Kiefer Moore out of those two.
Mm. When you look at Blackburn, obviously we just said there the goals have dried up a bit, but they do still have Sammy Smodic, who's having a ridiculous season. I mean, he's 27 goals last I checked for a side that's struggling down the bottom. That's an obscene total. So clearly,
just made his debut for the Republic of Ireland, started two games for them over this break as well, playing against Belgium and Switzerland. So that will have been a big confidence booster to him as well. Not that he needed one. So, and he's someone that always seems to do well against Ipswich, and you know, has enjoyed doing well against Ipswich in the past as well, isn't he? So he's certainly one to watch. I think they'll switch system, Blackburn. They've been playing sort of 3-4-3 or a variation of it, but they then did switch to a 4-2-3-1 in their last game against Middlesbrough to get more attacking players on the pitch, I think, you know, to try and be more of a goal-scoring threat. But Sigurdsson, their Icelandic winger, has got injured. He's out for the season now. He's got injured away on international duty, which leaves them without one of their attacking players. They've got loads of centre-halves. They signed McFadzean from Coventry in January. Hayden Carter is available again. Wharton, who they sold for big money and got back on loan, and Higham are other options there. So I think they'll given sort of the threats that they know Ipswich will pose, I would imagine they'll switch back to a back three and wing backs. Would be my guess there.
Good stuff, Stu. Right, predictions time then. We're obviously going to talk about Southampton in a minute, but this is the next game up. Sounds like we kind of all think it might be the same sort of game. So what are we saying prediction-wise? Rossi, going to come to you first because you are still behind AJ, but ahead of both of us. So you get the privilege of going first.
They look draws Blackburn. Even though they haven't won in 8 games, they've drawn 6. So do I go for a draw, which I'm sure a lot of Town fans won't be happy about? Obviously, it'd be great. You know, it's going to be great that away. And I think nearly 5,000 sold. So that's going to be one hell of a sight to see. But I think this could be a draw, boys. I'm sorry to say. Will there be goals? I don't concede as many goals now, Blackburn. But I do fancy a bit of a Desmond. So I'm going to go for a 2-2.
Oh, high scorer. Okay, 2-2. First scorer.
First goal scorer will be, let's go for a nice, do we get, oh, good, I'll go Mari again. Mari will score again.
We don't need to hear your working out, Ross. Just give us a name.
Connor Chaplin to come back and score.
Connor Chaplin, CC10, 10cc rather. Watto, what are you saying prediction-wise? Or do you want me to go first because I'm slightly ahead of you?
I've just got to correct myself. Two Whartons, I've got them muddled up. Adam Wharton was the one who went to Palace and he hasn't been loaned back. He's still at Palace. Scott Wharton is the centre half. Just corrected myself there. Prediction, I can go if you want. I'm going to go for a very hard fought 1-0 to do what they didn't quite manage to do at Cardiff, to see it over the line this time. And I'm going to go with Massimo Luongo as a goal scorer.
Wow.
Because we spoke to him yesterday and he is my favourite player personality-wise. He's just the cliche of someone that I think I could stand and have a beer with around the barbecue. Just like it. There's no airs and graces about him at all. He just talks to you on a real level. And he's talked about, he scored in the reverse fixture against Blackburn. Hasn't got many, but maybe, I don't know, just a gut feeling that it could be a Massimo Luongo type of day.
I like it. I was going to say 1-0, but I won't. I'll say 2-0. I'll eschew the normal 2-1 pick. I'll go with 2-0, and I'm going to say Ali Alhamadi to open the scoring, thinking that he's going to start.
Nice.
So we've got 2-2 from Rossi with Connor Chaplin. 1-0.
Is he actually fit, Connor Chaplin, by the way? Did that question get asked? Because obviously he missed for Wednesday.
No, it didn't, Ross, and it was remiss of me to do so. I think it was deemed a sort of a minor back strain at the time. So, but no, it was remiss of me not to ask that yesterday. But he wasn't brought up, so I'm assuming he is. But apologies,
Stu, I'm afraid you're sacked.
Fine.
So we got 2-2 Chaplin, 1-0. Luongo, which would be lovely, wouldn't it? Because he tends to score nice goals. And then I'm saying 2-0 Ali Alhamadi. We also obviously have to talk about Southampton. I appreciate, again, it's slightly ridiculous talking about a game that's a few days away and there's another game before that. But that's the last time we're going to chat before that game. So, Rossi, this is clearly a massive, massive game. Southampton, 2 games in hand on Town. If they win those games and beat Town, they'll go ahead of them again. I think that's still right. That certainly was the case last time I looked. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, big Easter Monday game at Porton Road. Obviously, both game on Sky as well. 5:30 kickoffs. But yeah, Southampton, obviously, I think, wasn't it when we beat them back in September? And then I think they lost another game or something, or drew another game. And then, of course, they went on that unbelievable unbeaten run. And then, obviously, they've lost the last few games. They've had some, you know, not so good results. But yeah, it's going to be tough, though. It's going to be tough at Porton Road. I think it's going to be goals. You know, that's the place to be, you know, for that entertainment. So I'm going to back Town to get a win, though. Even though I've gone for a draw at Blackburn, I think it's away from home, one of those things. But yeah, it's going to be a just exciting Easter Monday because, yeah, two teams really fighting up the top there. So yeah, can't wait for it.
What's your score prediction? Are we doing that now, or do you want to wait? Because you're the holder of the predictions. Do you want to wait until after we put that out, maybe on the day on Monday?
Yeah, it would wait. Yeah, wait. Yeah, yeah, wait.
You have already said win, though, so I expect to see win in your prediction. Stewie, you got any thoughts on Southampton? The table seems to be set for a feast.
Sorry, I can't help with that. You can learn more about logging your health data. Sorry.
What is wrong with my phone? I'm being monitored. The table seems to be set for a feast of Easter football, I was trying to say, on Easter Monday. Should be a cracker, shouldn't it, this one?
Yeah, this is a mouth-watering one, this, isn't it, given where the two teams are in the table. I don't think it's any coincidence that Southampton got past their little mini slump since Flynn Downes has come back into the team. Mm. Him returning to Portman Road. Just look at their last two results, 4-3 win against Birmingham, 4-2 win against Sunderland for Southampton. We know some of the scorelines that we've seen at Portman Road. Russell Martin's sides try to pass you to death. Ipswich like playing against teams that try and engage in a game of football. Be very interested to see how Southampton get on Good Friday, because it'll have been nearly 3 weeks since they last played a game, because they had that home game against Preston called off because of the fire near the stadium. They had a game against Leicester rearranged because Leicester had progressed in the FA Cup. So will that break prove beneficial or the opposite for them? We shall wait and see. But yeah, it's one to really look forward to. As is Norwich coming up on the horizon. It's just gonna go so quickly now, I think. Now we've had this nice little pause to catch our breath.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to look up the fixtures tomorrow, because I think all the promotion contenders play at different times, don't they, tomorrow? So you got Leicester at Bristol City, 12:30. That's I believe that's on TV. And you've got Southampton at home to Middlesbrough. Interesting game, 3:00. Obviously, then Town at Blackburn. And then the evening game, Leeds at Watford, which again, I believe is on TV. So literally all four playing at different times, and follow them separately.
Well, we've seen that Bristol City can be a handful at close quarters recently, so that's a tricky game for Leicester, who are probably starting to feel the heat a little bit, and Middlesbrough, a very good team away from home, on the counter-attack as well. So, another one to keep our eye on. We're at that stage now where we're looking at other results. The team aren't, but we are.
Absolutely, yeah. Right then, so that's the football this weekend done. Before we go, we have to talk about, though, one more thing, don't we, Rossi? Which is this, he says excitedly. Yes, look at that, boys. Bad blood. Fabio Wardley, Fraser Clark. Fabio, lad from sleepy Suffolk, about to headline the O2 Arena. I can't stress to you, friends, how big of a deal that is. His face. Names first on all the posters. It's plastered across all the billboards. You go on Sky Sports right now, there's a whole section dedicated to it. And this is a guy with no amateur background, already British and Commonwealth heavyweight champion, defends those belts in his super fight on Sunday night, which me and Rossi are going to, Rossi, aren't we? Jolly boys outing to the O2. How are you feeling about this? Because you went to school with Fab, and clearly you've accompanied me on a lot of the times we've been to see him. So we're getting well with Fab. This is going to be your first time actually seeing him get punched in the face in a live environment. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, really excited for it. Obviously, yeah, you just mentioned main eventing O2 Arena. O2 Arena is bloody massive. So yeah, it's going to be, you know, a great day. Obviously, you know, live on Sky Sports and, you know, the lights, everything. It's going to obviously be other fights beforehand. But yeah, obviously he's 18-0, isn't he, Fab?
17-0.
I'm just predicting he's going to win.
Just predicting
Pretty much. But looking forward to it. I've been to a few boxing events before, but this will be the first time seeing someone that I know getting punched in the face, but I'm sure he'll be punching the other guy in the face as well. But looking forward to it.
Absolutely, yeah. Should be a spectacular event, live on Sky Sports, that is, on Sunday night. Stu, is there anything you want to ask me in a role reversal about this? Because obviously, normally I'm the host and you're the pundit. In this scenario, that being cocky, I hold the knowledge. Is there anything you want to ask me about it? Or do you not care? You just think about football.
No, I do care. Is he going to win? And how's he going to win? Talk me through it.
Well, Fabio Wardley has knocked out 16 straight opponents. He's done it in a variety of ways as well. He'll either knocked him out early or he's knocked him out late on. If people tend to try and jump on him early because they think he's a slow starter. He said he's a bit of a slow starter. And that generally doesn't work out for the folks. And last time out, we saw David Adelaide. The fight went into the eighth round, which is the furthest Fab has been. And again, ended up with Adelaide on the floor bleeding. But this time he's facing a guy, Fraser Clark is an Olympic bronze medalist. He's very well-schooled, tidy, pedigree boxer, got huge amateur experience, very good jab, does everything fundamentally really well. But he's not the explosive puncher that Fabio Wardley is. So for me, that's the matchup, is who can impose their will, if you like, on the fight. Can Fraser Clark establish the jab and outbox Fabio Wardley? He might be able to for a few rounds, but can he stop Fabio landing that nuclear bomb of a right hand, which he's got, the touch of death, which is God-given ability? I don't think he can. I think Fabio will win this, but I think it might go a few rounds. I think, as I say, Fraser is a good opponent. He's never been in this sort of fire, though, Fraser, professionally. He's never been tested like this. He's only had 8 professional fights, and they've been largely against journeymen. So I'm going to say Fabio's going to win. I hope he wins, because then he goes on to even bigger and better things, and we can start talking about him moving into the world picture. He's already world ranked with one of the governing bodies, and I think the next thing for him would be fights moving into the world title picture, which would be very exciting. And I should also mention at this point, I had a chat with Fabio on Tuesday, which we're going to put out as a video, free video on KOA, and also a special podcast that's going to go out at 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Good chat with Fab about the fight, obviously, about his love for Ipswich Town. There's going to be some Ipswich Town based support along fans, but also Mark Ashton's going to be there, which is interesting. He's also said that he's told the players they can't come, Fab, because they've got to be in bed early for Southampton on Monday. Rossi, you look like you want to say something.
Will there be media scram?
Well, I've only ever covered one. Well, I've covered several events at the O2, but a few in the Indigo, which is a smaller room. The main room, when I covered UFC there, the food was unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I don't know if it's going to be the same for a boxer event, because UFC obviously have got absolutely make it rain filthy money. I'm not sure what we're going to get food-wise, but certainly let's leave a little bit of space, Rossi, for potential good media scram. There was all sorts of stuff from the UFC. Packs of sweets as well, you could help yourself too. Anyway, so yes, that's certainly a highlight as well. We'll be covering that. We're doing live coverage of that on Sunday as well. We'll see all the fallout, reaction, all that kind of stuff to come. Friends, anything else to mention? We've done, 1 hour 12 now. Anything else to mention, boys, before we take our leave? We've got to crack on.
I've just amused myself in our group chat. I noticed you've sent that screen grab in our now defunct, what I thought was now defunct, KOA podcast WhatsApp group that involved the OG members of the podcast. Yeah. This has not probably been used for a good 6 months. You sent the picture of Andy doing his Oscar award. Yeah. Andy's replied, "Is everyone okay?" And I've just removed him from the group with no response, just for my own amusement. So I'll text him privately now.
That's great work. But we do need to add him. We do need to add him back in, because every so often we'll rekindle that for things like that little picture. Rossi, anything from you? Anything to mention? You ready for a big weekend? Working pretty much all over Easter. That's how we like it.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Yeah, bit of footy, bit of boxing, bit of food here and there. Let's go for it.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we've come to the end of hopefully an enjoyable show for you. A big weekend of sport awaits for both Ipswich Town and Fabio Wardley. You can follow it all with us. As per, just a reminder to support our sponsor, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all the excellent clobber. They've just re-upped again, boys. Manscaped have extended the sponsorship deal again. That's now almost 3 years, I think, we've been working with them. So clearly, the KOA army loving their quality products. So get stuck in, use that code and help basically help us in terms of supporting us. That'd be great. I've already mentioned the current Easter offer, £2 for 2 months of coverage or 30% off the whole year. If you want to support us there, that'd be great. I know that you already have. We really appreciate that. And support us also with a 5-star review on iTunes, because that helps lift our visibility in the charts and helps more people find us. And also the usual social media tees, obviously. Follow us across all social medias. The old ones that only granddads use, like Facebook, all the way through X, Instagram, and then TikTok. Is that the order? I suppose that would be the order, wouldn't it, in terms of granddad to youth, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Do you agree with that? Excellent. They're just nodding. They clearly want to get on. Let's do that then, friends. Have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. Enjoy your Easter. I hope you get loads of chocolate. Let's hope for two Ipswich Town wins and a Fabio Wardley big, big knockout on Sunday night. And we'll be back next week to break it all down and talk to you again. Have a great one.